morning, church. This, you don't have to clap. I'm not singing. Sorry. Hey, this week I thought I brought out my blue shirt. And the reason I brought my blue shirt because I miss Pastor Stan. So, Stan, if you're watching, I just want to bring this. That's because I miss you so much. I miss Diana as well, but I can't wear a dress. So, just had to wear this blue shirt here. If you haven't been following our sermon series, as Pastor Justin introduced us to, we've been turning on when reality bites. And this is based on the pre-Exodus and post-Exodus story, as you know. So if you have a Bible with you, you can open to Exodus chapter 15 and read with me. Otherwise, the words are on the screen. Read that with me as well. Then Moses led Israel onward from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink the water of Marah because it was bitter. Therefore it was named Marah. And the people grumbled and murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, and he threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. There the Lord made for them a statue and an ordinance, and there he proved them, saying, "If you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, and do that which is right in his eyes, and give heed to this commandment, and keep all his statues, I will put none of the diseases upon you which I put upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your healer." Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the water. Just want to warn you that I'll read that once. I might not show the passage during the service, a familiar story, but if you're a Christian, and this is a wonderful, beautiful story. That has so much for us to learn about what it means to come before Jesus and accept him as the Lord and Savior. I have entitled my sermon this morning, Living a Bittersweet Life. And the big idea of the overarching kind of summary that I want us to land on right now, even before, if you miss anything else later, I just want you to remember this, that our circumstances always changed, but our faith in God's provision should never waver. So I'm sure that you agree with me as you think of that statement. Let's start with the first part of this. Our circumstances always change. Would you read it with me? Our circumstances always change, but our faith in God's provision should never waver. The first part, you and I agree, that's a reality. Our circumstances will always change. There's nothing that we can do pretty much. It's out of control. It'll change. But the second part of faith in God's provision should never waver. The reality is we don't know how real that is. And that's what we're going to dive into because it's so important for us that we accept reality. But should we accept to work in how we keep our faith and our trust in His provision? So, coming out of slavery, they went through the Red Sea, and they're coming out of the Red Sea, and here they are standing and looking back, but then keep going because there's a promised land that they have to get to. And it was such a great victory for the people of Israel. You know, Moses orchestrated a choir and did them a song in order to praise God. It's a song of deliverance, a song of praise. It was a song of victory. And they were singing night and day as they were marching on. And I can just imagine some of them couldn't sleep because they just want to share how exciting. And, you know, they're probably talking, wow, that victory. Did you see what happened with the Red Sea? And it was awesome. And maybe someone said, we're glad that we're not going to go through anything. It's all good now. As if they say, God, thank you for bringing us here. You can go now. You can go on because we're ready to go. And in control from here on. You see, though there is one great victory, they thought that was the only victory they have to carry with them. Because you see, little did they know that one great victory doesn't settle everything. We need challenging new experiences to help us grow and mature in the Lord, because life is a pilgrimage journey, as you know. So very often life learning lesson is for a bitter experience. Yes, which is quite true, because it's also true that experience is the best teacher. I remember growing up and my dad told me to don't touch and play around with the knife. And for me, it's the best toy back then in Tonger. I love playing with until I cut my finger. And then I know I learned that every time I touch the knife, I can feel what it means to cut yourself with that knife. You tell your children, you know, that stoves and lamps and all of that are quite hot. And they'll keep playing with it until they get burned. And then they realize that next time they experience what hot means. Unfortunately, we seem to possess that kind of same characteristics, like an innocent child, that we have to be burned in order to learn. So what did they learn that we can learn from the Israelites in this journey here? Well, they learned some lesson about life. They learned some lesson about themselves, and they learned some lesson about God. So there's three things that I thought is important for us when we look at what it means to live a bitter life experience as a Christian. Firstly, they learned that life is a bitter, sweet mix. My wife loves, her favorite drinks whenever we go to a cafe or restaurant is lemon, lime, and bitter. So we know we don't have to ask, we just have to order her drinks. And if someone else asks, she doesn't know any drinks under that mixture. She don't even really know what is in that drink. She just enjoys. She's been having it for years, so she loves that drink. It's a great mix. But unfortunately for the Israelites, they haven't really grasped what it means to experience a lemon-lime bitter. That is a good mix, you know. They love the first part. We love the lemon, we love the lime, but bitter? That's not what we want to go through as we go to that glory, as we keep climbing to that promised land. That's not what we want. You know, the Israelites are supposed, like a lot of our people in our days, assume that once you get signed in and to follow the Lord, everything is going to be perfect. I don't have to worry. I will get rich and I'll get better. I won't get sick and all the like. But that's a kind of faulty thinking to land on, because entering God's glory does not immediately follow salvation. There is a time of preparation to make us grow and learn. We're disciples, meaning we continue to learn and mature ourselves. And according to God's word, life is a mixture and it's good, both good and bad. We know that from Ecclesiastes. There is time for everything, a season for every activity in the land. There is time to cry and there's time to laugh, time to die, time to live. There's so much in there. That's the season of life that we find in there. And while this may seem depressing when you think about it, is that the life that we kind of live? While this might seem depressing, you don't forget that there is great things that are happening when a new child is born, when someone is being baptized, when someone's find a new job, and when someone's healed. There's great things that we should never forget. Secondly, they learned about life that life has a master. Well, they thought that Moses was their master until they arrived in this place called Marah, and they seemed to forget who brought them out to slavery. You know, when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, they named it Marah. In Tonga, we say mala. Say, everybody say mala. Mala. Does anybody have any mala experience feeling right now? Make sure you don't name your child Mala. Mala. Well, they got to Marah and they were thirsty. They found this pool of water, but the water was bitter. Then they started to get grumpy and angry and start having a go at Moses, their master, instead of God, the master of life. You see, in our life journey, we may have reached the pools that we're hoping to find satisfaction, only to find it doesn't satisfy, it doesn't quench our thirst. It doesn't do that for ourselves. We find an unpleasant and harsh outcome, the marriage, the relationship, the job, the new home, and the like. That fresh avenue of pleasure which promised to give that well of spring of richness as beauty is absolutely disappointing. You know, maybe a wrong decision that you and I make that we ended up where that Mala or Mara place. But many of the time you and I know that we pray, we discern, we call out the Lord, and yet still, and it's usually associated with our calling, whether you call it a job or call it a school or call it that ministry, we discern. And then some we find some disappointing result, things happen right there. And then we ask ourselves, Lord, how did we end up here? God led them to this place of bitterness by his provisions and providence. They were not there by mistake. They were not there by bad luck. They were not there because they didn't read the map correctly. They were there to this place because of God's providence. We need to think about that. Because we know that they were followed, they were led by the pillar of cloud during the day and the pillar of fire at night. God was leading them. They were exactly in that place that God wanted them with his unfailing providence. So friends, we will cruise through life. We'll come through hard time. We will enjoy and worship the wonder of great stuff. And until something small and big just rock a boat, and we find ourselves disappointing, we find ourselves discouraged. What are we going to do? Remember what the disciple did on that boat? They rejoiced in watching Jesus performing miracles until the storm came, and they forgot what they watched and witnessed Jesus did. They learned that life is a master, but they also learned that life is a ministry. What had happened toward these people? God used this time, good and bad, to minister to the Israelites. The discipline so that they come to learn that perception and understanding of God through that bittersweet experience. It's just like a child that is the product of his and her environment. As Christian, it is the product of the situation that we face in life together with God. And the second thing they learn here is that they learn some lesson about themselves. They were bitter. Time at Mara reveals certain characteristics about the Israelite people. Maybe something that they would rather have known at the time. See, the people know that to grumble against Moses is really to grumble against the Lord. We know, you and I agree, that is not right. Are you with me? Are you with me? Well, if you are with me, church, if anything goes wrong and things doesn't go right here in the church, please do not come and complain to us pastors. You need to go to God and cry out to the Lord and trust in his providence. Because you all agree that they shouldn't do that to poor Moses. Amen. Amen. I love the amen here. Go to God. Go to God. The people grumble against Moses saying, what shall we drink? We don't have resources. In other words, Moses, if you are the servant of God, if you are the pastor, if you are the man of God, show us, give us water right now. Can you see yourself how quickly the change in circumstances change and reversed their attitude towards God? Have you experienced that in your life? When all of a sudden, I have a friend that we used to pray every time we meet, things change in his situation. He's not one to pray anymore. They changed their attitude from celebrating, seeing the wonder and praise and glorifying God to grumbling, complaining, questioning, as if they say, let's put God to test. But friend, listen here. When we put God to test, our motives are never good. But when God tests us, his intention, his purpose are always loving and caring. Yeah? Always. Because God in his providence brings us into bitter trials in order that you and I become a better person a better Christian and a perfect character. They learned that they were living for self. You know, they just demand, they only look at, we just need water. Their physical need, where is the highest peak in their longing and need and want. Their concern for their bodily physical satisfaction for God. And yet for God, the greater need is to tap in to the one who provides, who did all of that from Egypt through the Red Sea and out of that. They forgot about it, but they dwell and focus on their immediate need. They were totally consumed with their personal need. And I'm not saying it's wrong to do that, but sometimes we miss that point. We get in a tight spot and then we start to put boundary out of it, and the next minute we are at the center of it instead of God being at the center of our life and our situation and circumstances. Amen. And thirdly, they were walking by sight. When their expectations fail, they became disappointed with God. And how many times that we've been guilty of the same thing, that we expect some things, we expect a job, we expect, you know, to make someone to make us happy, and all the time we never look for joy in that space, to joy in that place where it will always be found, even in the bitter times of life. Friends, our duty and privilege as believers to learn to depend on Him, the Lord, completely and totally, because that's God's demand, that we put our trust in Him. Because the moment we take our eyes off God, we'll end up fail and we disappoint, because we take our eyes in the one who provides, and they will never satisfy. You know, since coming out of Egypt, the Lord has proven over and over about His providence, His protection, His security, His caring, His loving, the miracles and more. And there was just enough to satisfy them, knowing who He is, a God whom they watched perform miracles, a God who have destroyed, a God who has provided for them, a God who will protect them again, a God who will provide for them again, a God who's able to do it over and over again. Well, they praise Him through songs. They worship Him night and day. And in 3 days, and yet they forgot, because they suddenly take their eyes off God. Now they were standing by a pool of bitter water, complaining because the Lord didn't do it in their way, in their time. John McGay put it this way: grumbling arises from an attitude of disaffection with one's lot and ability to do anything about it. We're so good at complaining, we're so good at critiquing, but we're not prepared to do something about it. You know, it's like that some of us, we're wanting to keep finding things that will satisfy, and we go to extra miles and we go do certain things to keep going, to find things that satisfy us, and we never content. And it's like someone who's being lost in the ocean, and there is no water. And if you try to drink the salty water, they will die, because salty water makes you even more thirsty. And the more you do that, it's gonna kill you. The principal problem is that their lack of awareness of the spiritual dimension of the situation they were in. They were not giving the Lord to have its place in their lives, in that situation. And the third thing that I want to touch is that they learned some lesson about the Lord. He's aware of our needs. You know, I don't want to say too much at this point here, but we know that He's aware of their needs. He's a God to hear their cry. How often we hear the psalmist talk about God hear their cry. There's nothing in your life that God cannot surprise you with. He's already know your tomorrow. He's already know your next move. He already know the things that you're gonna do. He's already know the plan. He's able to meet our need. He's a God who's able to deliver us. Moses took the right approach that we learned from this story here. the way of faith. He cried out to the Lord and then followed God's order. And in this story here, maybe sometimes that's how God react and work with us in our situation. Three things happen. You know, the way he did was changing things. Maybe sometimes things need to change, like making the bitter water sweet. Maybe sometimes about giving us something else instead of things that we asked for. You know, here, like the wells of water is in Elim, there was something else. And lastly, giving the grace that we need to bear our difficulty and complain, and not complain. God has already provided our need. And look ahead always and prepare a way even before we ever have a need. This week on Tuesday, I just want to finish that before I draw a conclusion. I had a little bitter experience. I was sitting in my desk and then suddenly blood was just running through my nose. We're getting there, Justin. It was running. I couldn't stop. I went to the bathroom, couldn't stop. Some of the staff didn't know when it get running. So I grabbed my key and my phone and out I went to the clinic. And I was there. They tried to stop. We quickly got to the treatment. They couldn't stop. Another doctor walked in and she said, I need this room. And the nurse would say, look, we're told by 000, we need to keep him in a treatment. And then the nurse said, by the way, doctor, can you come and have a look? And she says, no, sorry, I'm too busy. And then off she went. We look at each other with the nurse and we both smile. And we're talking, she found out I come here and she said, I'm a Christian as well. And by the way, I'm a Quran. I go to the Quran Community Church. It was about 20 minutes before I meet the Korean pastors at a cafe. And I said, oh, what am I going to do? And he found out that we're going to meet with the Korean pastor. He said, oh, Pastor Gelmo. I said, oh, yeah, do you know him? Oh, yeah, he just went to the desk and started typing the name. I said, how does he know, Pastor? He touched it and then, oh, I've got a number here. And then she rang while the other nurse holding my nose. She rang and said, hey, and they were speaking in Korean. And they were just talking, and then next minute, it's all done. I said, Lord, thank you. Thank you. I don't know what we've done, because I couldn't touch my phone. It was bleeding everywhere. So this other doctor went. Then suddenly, this other doctor walked in. He's cool. He walked in there. Hey, how are you going? Are you okay? And then Mimi, the nurse, say, hey, this is Pastor Inoki from church. You can see the light. And he said, oh, Pastor, how are you? The next minute, we were worshiping in that place. Mimi was praying. The other nurse was just standing there. I'm not sure. He went back and come back. Hey, make sure you look after Pastor. And then the next, you know, they stuck there. And then we pray. The ambulance arrived. They went with me to the ambulance. And I said, Lord, you prepared this, didn't you? I got to the ED. I waited there for long. No one cared. I didn't have any Christian. I know Liz. I don't think Liz was working. I waited for 4 or 5 hours, and then I came home, and it was all good. God prepares even when a need is there. Folks, you will never face a need in life that God has not prepared. Don't think that, will God prepare? He's already prepared before a need comes. I want to draw a conclusion here because we're going to spend some time in prayer and we're going to respond to God. Living a bittersweet life as a Christian is about knowing and believing and accepting and assuring the fact that our circumstances always change, but our faith in God's provision should never waver. Living a bittersweet life, we cannot see beyond the cross and the empty tomb. Because this is where the bitterness took place at the cross. But the sweetness come when he rose from dead. Amen? Hey, that's the bittersweet life that we learn that Jesus showed us in there.